Welcome back to another episode of Harry's Take. Today, I'm absolutely thrilled to have the one and only Tracy Wolfson of CBS on with me today. Tracy Wolfson is a prominent sportscaster for CBS Sports, renowned for her extensive coverage of the NFL, including multiple Super Bowls, as well as NCAA basketball and the NBA. With a career spanning over two decades, she has become a respected figure in sports journalism, known for her insightful reporting and interviews with top athletes and coaches from the sidelines and on the field. Tracy, thank you for being on with us today.
Harry, it's my greatest pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. So first, kind of to backtrack, how did you get into the sports journalism field? Was it always your passion to work on the sidelines and be in the mix of sports media, or was it something that came on later in your life?
Yeah, it was actually always my passion. I was about 8-9 years old, and I was watching a show called the NBA Inside Stuff, and I decided at that time, I watched a woman by the name of Willow Bay. She was working with Ahmad Rashad at the time, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to talk sports for the rest of my life. And I was a tomboy growing up. I love sports. I love playing sports. I loved watching sports. And I just knew if I would surround myself by sports, I'd be doing a job that I'd really enjoy later in life. So I always wanted to do this.
Wow, that's so interesting to see a woman that inspired you in your childhood to do what you do now.
Thank you.
Secondly, what do you like most about your job? I know there's a lot to love about it, but what's your favorite part about doing what you do, would you say?
I think my favorite part is really being in the action. People ask me all the time, do I want to do play-by-play, move into the booth? I absolutely love the sidelines. I love the environment down there. I love the passion of the fans. I love, you know, hearing the helmets hit and, you know, hearing the fans scream and the reactions from the coaches and the sounds and the sights and all of that takes place down on the field. You get goosebumps when you're down there. You really feel like you're part of the game. And I really love trying to figure out the storylines. We go in with a lot of information, but you're really the eyes and the ears of the broadcast booth. You're getting down there what they can't get from up top. And I love that. It's almost like you're an investigative reporter trying to figure out and find stories down there that you can bring to light. And so I think that's what I love about it. I love the feeling being down there, but I also love that I get to work with new teams each week, you know, new players, new coaches. Every season's different. You don't know what's going to come of it. Every game's different, the rivalries. So there's so much. And then you could talk about college basketball and being in a college environment with those fans and have those rivalries also is just, you know, it's a really great feeling to be part of that.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, I think one time I'm a big Chiefs fan. Mm-hmm. So, but actually before the Patrick Mahomes days with Alex Smith, I took a liking to them because of Jamal Charles when I was 8. Yeah. So people who say I'm a bandwagon are wrong. But the thing is, I was at the Chiefs Texans, the greatest comeback in playoff history. I think the Chiefs beat the Texans. They were down like 24 points in the first half. And I remember you were on the sidelines that game, and I yelled from my seats in the front row, "Hi, Tracy," and you said hi, and that made my day. So I just wanted to tell you that.
Harry, that's awesome. I'm so glad. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
Yeah, that was probably 5 years ago, but my respect for you after that has just grown so much.
Thank you. Well, you're going to have to let me know if you're at another Chiefs game that I'm at.
Oh, I will. Okay. Next year, we always go to a playoff game. We went to the minus 10 degrees this year.
Oh, God. Oh, man.
It was something.
Any frozen limbs? Any hypothermia?
No, but by the fourth quarter, it was pretty crazy. All the warmers worn off.
Oh my God!
It was a great experience though.
Yeah, you can say you'll be there when. That's cool.
Going to Arrowhead every time, as you know, is a great experience.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so as you said, you love being in the action and in the thick of it. What goes through your mind as you run onto the field at the end of games looking for the players that you're assigned to interview? Because I know navigating through all those big men on the field when they're all shaking hands in the middle of the field trying to find someone could be difficult. So what goes through your mind, and can you describe that process at the
end? I will tell you that my days in the SEC covering those teams and those rivalries for 10 years really prepared me for that, because in college, as you know, people storm the field and it is chaotic down there. And so you really have to find your player, whether it's the quarterback or your coach, as soon as possible before the crowd gets to you. And I actually enjoyed that. First of all, I'm like all of 5 feet one. So like 5 foot one. So I'm like trying to get through all these guys and getting, you know, pushing them out of my way so I could stick a microphone in someone's face. And so, you know, I actually enjoyed that challenge. And it did prepare me. I mean, the NFL is very different. It's really the PR staff will bring someone over to you. It's, you know, they're not storming fields, really. It's funny because teams could beat another team and now they're trading jerseys at the end of games, right? Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen in college football at all. So it did prepare me. And then I had the one incident at the Super Bowl where I was interviewing Tom Brady. And that was a scene, and it developed around me. Now, the true story is I was right there. I mean, I looked and I knew exactly where Tom was, and my job is to make sure I'm right next to him for the end of the game, which I did. But he wanted to say, you know, congrats to all his guys. And so he knows me well, and he's like, Tracy, just give me a second, you know, give me a minute. What are you going to do? Of course, you're going to give him a minute, you know, you're not going to like force him into an interview. And it's Tom Brady, you know, you give him the respect he deserves.
Yeah, of course. So,
of course, I'm waiting and he's still like high-fiving and hugging everyone.
You're just in the middle of all of it.
And all of a sudden, next thing I knew, it's like this whole entire sea of media surrounding me. Someone stepped on my microphone. I lost it for a while. I had to get down on the ground and try and get another one. It was interesting. Wow. But I will tell you, I had him the whole way, and my SEC days certainly prepared me for that.
Which Super Bowl was that? Were you talking about?
That was, I get them all confused. Super Bowl, not 50, 53, maybe it was.
Oh,
so up until this year, all the Super Bowls I did, except the Peyton Manning and Super Bowl 50, Tom Brady has won.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a very exciting Super Bowl. I remember, it was very low scoring, and it wasn't the COVID Super Bowl because we weren't allowed to do interviews like that. So, So it was right before, it was the Super Bowl before COVID that I did. We did them every 3 years. Now it's every 4 years.
Yeah. Because what do you think about the new media that's coming in to commentate NFL games, such as Paramount Plus, brother, sister company, whatever you want to call it, of CBS, and people like Peacock and Amazon Prime? How do you think that adds to the game, but also takes away games from CBS? What do you think of all of these new networks that are getting games?
Yeah, look, it's all about money and how much money the NFL could make. And I totally respect that, right? It is a business. And they're also, it's also about appealing to the generations. And a new generation right now is not necessarily watching network television. They're watching all over on different streaming devices and different tablets. And they don't have regular cable like, you know, maybe some of the older generations do. Even myself, I got rid of cable and I have YouTube TV. So I watch everything on Paramount Plus and Peacock and Amazon Prime. So for me, it doesn't matter. I'll find it no matter where it is. But it's also very costly for the viewer. And so you're not going to see the viewership as much, as high as you would on a network. And I don't think the network games are ever going to go away because I think they're just too big. They've been there for too long and you would really alienate a large portion of your viewership. But I think they're trying to find creative ways to bring, you know, streaming in and also to appeal to these new generations and to make more money. And they're doing a good job of it. I mean, they've capitalized on every day of the week, basically, you know, and then you see the Christmas games. We had the last two Christmas games. We definitely didn't think they were going to do a Christmas game this year on Wednesday, but there they go and they get Netflix involved, right?
Oh, so, wow.
I mean, it's pretty, you know, pretty impressive what they've been able to do.
Yeah, there's games on every day of the week when it comes after college season. It's just crazy.
Crazy.
You talked about the people you work with, and I want to ask, how has working closely with Jim Nantz for so many years and recently Tony Romo helped you become a better reporter from their knowledge and also working with them? How has that helped you in your career your bond
with him? I love that question because it's helped me in different ways. Jim is a complete consummate professional, right? Been doing this for generations. The voice of golf, the voice of NCAA March Madness, and the voice of CBS NFL. And, you know, I've always watched him also before I had the opportunity to work alongside him and watching how he does everything with such ease, but poise, how he's friendly to everyone, how he really takes the time to mentor, also to get to know everyone who's, you know, walks across his path and get to know the players and the coaches and the relationships that he forms really comes into play. And the way he's a storyteller, he's a great storyteller on the air. You know, of course, he's always read up. He does his research. And so that impresses me. He really just makes everything look so easy. And I'm always impressed by that. And then, you know, Tony is different because he does more the analyst work. And so I love listening to him and sitting and watching film with him and learning the game. You know, it started with Phil Simms when I joined the crew with Jim and Phil. Mm-hmm. I would sit and I would spend dinners in our meeting room with Phil, and we'd order in food and we'd watch game tape. And it was great because I learned so much about the game. And, mm-hmm. you know, you think you know a lot. And then when you sit with a former, you know, MVP quarterback, you're like, okay, now I really know, you know, football. And so I think between him and then, of course, with Tony, I've really learned a lot from them football-wise, the X's and the O's and really what goes into it to another level.
Yeah, that's great. I think the Tony edition was great, and I really enjoy listening to him every week. I think he's his analyst from being a quarterback. He knows about the quarterback, what they're going to do, when they're going to do it. He just has all the insights, and I think he does a great job with Jim. I think they've established a really nice relationship
over the years. Thank you. Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I love Tony's passion. That's the other thing. He really, when he calls a game, it's like you're sitting alongside him. He doesn't hold back. And so, you know, I think especially, you know, right when he came on, I think that's what caught everyone's attention. It was just unique, very different than what people have heard before.
Yeah. So you talk about the process before the game. For the week before the game, you know what game you're going to cover, obviously, but what day in the week do you head to the city that you're covering? And I know that Jim and Tony do the interviews with the players and coaches before each game, before the week. Do you participate in those to get more stories for the week, or do you come later in the week?
Yeah, so I'll go through our schedule. We're a complete team. So everything they do, I do. Where it's me, Jim, Tony, my producer, my director, one of our assistant producers, one of our research guys, Tony's assistant, Jim's assistant, we all meet together. So whatever we do, they do. And so basically it's kind of like Groundhog Day where you're, you know, doing the same thing each week. It's just different teams, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'll just take you through a week because I usually get home on either a Sunday night very late or a Monday morning, depending on where I am. And you're basically, that's usually kind of a rest and recap day. And then Tuesday, you start focusing on the next two teams. Most teams have off Tuesday, so you're kind of recapping what happened, maybe watching the film from the week before and really trying to set up the storylines and, you know, between these two teams. Wednesday, more of the same. Maybe I start making calls to players or to coaches and say, you know, oh, this is something I'm looking at, or the PR staff, this is a storyline I want to follow. And same with Thursday. And I do a lot of stuff. I get a lot of information off Twitter. I follow beat reporters for every single team because they're the ones who are with them every day of the week. So, you know, everyone that works for the Kansas City Star, they're with the Chiefs, right? So, you know, they're the ones to follow. And so I really follow Twitter a lot. And then I do a lot of research through on my own. And then CBS sends us a lot of research as well. So we're really not short in the research department, a lot of information to sift through. And then Friday morning, we usually try Thursday night or Friday morning, we head into whatever home team we're doing. We'll go to practice and then we'll meet with the teams. We'll meet with the head coach, the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, quarterback, star, maybe a star offensive player, star defensive player. And those meetings will last anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 hours. And we do take in practice. And it's great. It's at the facility. And it's I love that because nowadays you can do some of that on Zoom. Some teams prefer that. And sometimes our schedules get in the way, or sometimes we've seen a team like the Chiefs 5 times. You don't need to go see them in person anymore, you know. But to me, I like watching and talking to them in person. One, it establishes a rapport, but they also could see your expression more and maybe forced to be answered something a certain way. So that's great. And of course, watching practice, you get a lot out of. And then Friday night, it's really fun. We all go out for a nice dinner together, which is great because you're on the road away from your family. So that's kind of like a fun time because you're missing them back home. So this is like your family on the road. And then Saturday, you really have off in the morning because most away teams don't come in till Saturday night. So as soon as they land, we go to their hotel and we do the same thing with those teams. They don't practice, so we don't watch their practice. And then basically head out to the stadium, you know, 4 hours before game time. And do more research and talk to more players and coaches on the field. Get your last minute information, rehearse a little bit. We have a production meeting Saturday night, usually to go over everything. And then we kick off and then we do it all over again the next week.
Yeah. Well, that's a very busy week.
It is. But it's a busy schedule, but it's nice during the week. You can manage it all on your own time, which is really good.
That's great. Similarly to what you were saying earlier, can you describe a little more in depth what is it like getting the real-time injury alert? Because oftentimes we get Jim, oh, we're going down to Tracy to hear about this interview or to hear about this injury. So how do you get the information so fast and get it out into the media?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because it's very different in college than it is in the NFL. In college, or at least when I was in the college game, it was very much like, find it out. You can say what you say. Sometimes they'll give it to you. Sometimes they won't. In the NFL, you really need, you can say what you see, but you got to be really sure and you don't want to speculate. Yeah. And you could say they're working on his left knee, but until you get the real official information, you can't release it. And that comes from the PR staff. And there's always a PR rep on the field. And so my coordination with him is really, or her, is really important. And a lot of times they can't release anything until they tell the owner or they tell everyone in the booth or they release it on Twitter or whatever, however their protocol is. And then I get it. Sometimes it's all at the same time. I don't like to miss the injuries though, because I know everyone watching at home is saying, what happened? What happened? I need it, you know, fantasy, yeah, all of this. So my guy going back in. And so I like to give something. A lot of times, though, it's hard to get it right away because the game is in a certain situation. We might be going to commercial. We might be getting an update. We might be in the red zone. You know, it might be third down and they're going to be kicking off or going to commercial. So it might be a timeout. So it's really hard to find that time. But that's the coordination between me and my producer. And I say, I've got the injury update. And he tries to get to me as quickly as possible. And if it's, I feel I can't get it, he can't send it to me quick enough, but it's really important. I say, tell Jim that, you know, Tom Brady is dealing with a knee injury. They worked on it on the sideline. And he'll say, Tracy's reporting that. So at least it gives you me a little bit of credit, but also we get it on as quickly as possible.
Yeah, because everyone wants to know what happened, if he's going out for a play or the game. So these updates are really crucial in real time. It's interesting to see how that information gets delivered to the booth. And I know you talked about the woman that inspired you earlier, but what advice do you have for young women out there who want to cover men's sports and follow in your footsteps and cover the biggest games in football and other sports?
Yeah. You know what? I didn't really, as much as, so Willow Bay was someone who I got to look up to, but I never connected with. And I didn't have anyone to connect with really early on to ask questions to and say, how do I get into the business? Or, you know, what classes should I take? Or where should I go? Or how do I make my tape? And where do I send it to? And all this stuff. I had to kind of do it blind. And it took me about, you know, 4 years to really get my first tape together and get on the air because of that. Mm-hmm. So I really tell a lot of young men and women who want to get into this business is get the experience when you can. You're doing it exactly right. You're getting as much experience. And look how early you're doing it while you're in high school. Like when you go to college, you're going to be ahead of the game. And then you're going to have 4 years of college to really prepare yourself if this is what you want to do. And then you'll have a tape to send it to. And so I send it out. And so I think getting the experience, making the connections with people, utilizing the connections with those people, and finding mentors that you can ask for advice is really important. And I always say, to me, the most important thing is just be a great teammate. You know, I have a great team. You just work well with others, learn to be a good teammate with them. They're going to want to work alongside you. They're going to want to go to bat for you. They're going to want to help you out. You'll have longevity in anything that you do. So it sounds so simple, but just be a great teammate as well.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. Thank you so much for coming on. And as always, thank you for tuning in to Harry's Take. What's your take?